You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's greet each other. Greetings. Fist pump, hello, waves. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you and praise you for the privilege to be here today. And we ask you, Almighty God, to pour your Spirit out upon us. We pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts today. We know, Lord, that you esteem, you honor, you recognize, you're drawn to our brokenness. And we pray, Lord, that you would instruct us today and you'd take your word and illuminate it. And Lord, just drive home the truth in our lives of what you want to do and how you want to do it. And we love you, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you and invite you to meet with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Rudy's going to come share some announcements with you. I think.
Yeah, well, good morning, everyone. If you're new here, we'd like you to connect with us by ripping out this page on the side and putting it in the offering plate. We would like you to come join us on Wednesday night dinner and devotion as we look at the seven churches of the Book of Revelations, starting at 5:30 to 5:30. Live groups are continuing meeting at 9:15. Come to the church lobby and a greeter will take you to your class. We're having a feast of plenty to go. You could donate food by making a complete basket or a half basket or just donate money. We're having a ladies' Christmas tea party at December 18th from 11 a.m. at the Fellowship Hall. Join and bring your friend or neighbor. You're invited to a music concert benefiting the 76 Project, and there's free tickets in the lobby in the front. You can get one. Thank you.
Please be seated. If y'all could be seated for just a moment here on the front. As we were singing that, it made me think of my father, Daryl Orman. My mother died in 2013. My dad moved in with us, and when he moved in, he was a World War II veteran. He was a cook for the Army, and he was stationed over in Germany and other places. And he told Kim and I, he was telling us when he lived with us, that he said, you know, we had the strangest thing. We went to these caves that the Nazis had filled with cars and art and treasures, and he was telling us all about that, you know. And then a few years after he moved in with us, they came out with a movie called The Monuments Men. And in that movie, it talks about that very thing, and the actors are involved in it, some of the key actors, where they go in and they actually capture all that stuff and try to save it from the Nazi army either destroying it or selling it and all that sort of thing. And so when the movie came out, I was out of town speaking, and Kim said to my dad, Big D, or what did you call him? Pops, do you want to go see that movie? It's about what you've been talking about. And he said, absolutely. So he gets his walker. They go to the mall. They're walking. He's got his walker, and he's kind of holding hands with Kim and pushing it. And this couple walks by him that was going out of the movie theater, this older couple. And the woman looks at Kim and my dad, and she looks at her husband, and she said, "Isn't that disgusting?" She thought they were a couple. You know, it was crazy. But with that, it's, you know, this week we're honoring our veterans and those that served our country and have defended us, and we're so proud of them. And we'd like to acknowledge you. If you're a veteran here today and you've served our country, would you please stand and let's give them a big hand for everything they've done for us. We love you and we're very proud of you. Thank you for serving our country. And I want to encourage y'all, when y'all see some of the, especially the senior men that have the caps on, either Vietnam, World War II, or one of these service caps in the public, be sure to go up to them and thank them. Thank them for what they've given, what they've done, what they've sacrificed. Many of them have had nightmares the rest of their life from some of the things they've experienced. And we just need to love them and appreciate them for everything they've done for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to receive our offering at this time. And this young man right here is, why don't you share with them what you do for us?
As the pastor's asked, I'm with the Coast Guard Auxiliary. I've been with them for 12 years. All right, I've been anything from a vice flotilla commander to a commander to a division vice commander and a division commander. That's a challenge, I'll tell you right now. I had over 300 underneath me, and that's a lot of attitudes, a lot of good ideas, some not so good. But we've been very successful. The flotilla here in Stuart was nominated the Flotilla of the Year Award nationally through all 50 states.
Amen.
So, and we feel very honored with that. We put on educational classes all the time, except for the month of December because of the birth of Christ, all right? And that's something that I've been involved with for 12 years. I'm the public education officer here in Martin County. And I take that with a lot of respect, all right? And anybody that's interested, come and see me after class or after the service, okay? I also served 6 years in the Army as well during the Vietnam time. So, yeah, there's some stories there, but we won't go into that now.
Hey, Gary, some of the men from the local Coast Guard I've run into along the way in the public in different venues have talked about, and they said, that Gary, that, you know, this commander, he said he's a Jesus person. He's religious because he's sharing Christ with them and he's representing, and we're proud of that. Amen? Amen. Here you go, Gary.
Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today praising you and thanking you for all the blessings that you've given us. Now we give you back a portion that you have so graciously given to us, Lord, so you can spread your word. And Lord, we have in mind our project with the church, Lord. Bless the people here. Bless the givers, Lord, that we can meet this goal that we need to meet, Lord. Be with our government as they need some guidance. And be with the veterans, Lord. Be with the families, Lord, that have lost their husbands or their wives through all the wars in the past, Lord. Keep them strong. Keep them strong in the faith, Lord. And we ask all this in thy precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Nasal Ned and his 9 nasty nose pickers. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Appreciate it. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church now with Miss Julie. Miss Julia. I'd like to call your attention to our notes that you received, if you received them when you came in today. And if you'll look at the top, there's Galatians 2:20. I'd like for us to say it together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Interesting verse. It's talking about, and in concept we say, yeah, this is beautiful. I'm crucified with Christ, yet he's living in me, through me. But in actuality, if you look at this verse and take it at face value, there's a lot of pain in this verse. There's a lot of things that bewildered millions and millions, billions of Christians through the ages. When we think about our relationship to God and being crucified with him and going through a lot of the things that we go through in our life for this purpose, for to be crucified. The Christian life has been repackaged and portrayed through the prosperity gospel as if you serve Jesus, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and you'll even be better looking. You know, it'll help you in your appearance. And in actuality, that is a new message in the modern world, the modern Christian world. That is not the historic message of Christianity. The historic message of Christianity is that Jesus Christ died to give us eternal life, but to identify with him, those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We will go through hardship. We will go through pain. We will go through suffering. And there'll be a number of things in our life. As your pastor here, Kim and I started here in summer of 1992. And I had been pastor here for several years in 1999. And in 1999, Kim and I were crossing the state one night to go to a pastor's retreat, and our car had trouble, overheated, and we pulled off the road, and we prayed for water, and there was an abandoned warehouse that had some water bottles in it. I could see it. I walked to it in the dark, and I got a couple of those bottles. I came back and poured them in our radiator and cooled the engine down enough for us to crank it and drive on. But one thing happened that night. I got bit by a mosquito, and from it, it gave me Bell's palsy. And so it was probably a week after that, not quite a week, that I was gone on another trip with our staff to a pastor's retreat in Jacksonville. And when we were coming back, my mastoid bump, this bump right behind your ear if you want to feel of it, it felt like I had hit it on something, like bumped it against something, but I know I hadn't. And it was just sore, and it was not excruciating pain, but it was definite discomfort, kind of like when you bump something, bump your head. And I just was aware of that driving back. The next day, we had visitation that Thursday night. The next day was a Thursday. And I was eating dinner with Kim to go to visitation. And Kim looked at me and I said, "Honey, it's been strange today. I used to have my devotions in the bathtub." Well, actually, I still do sometimes. But, you know, if the phone rings, I just lower my ears under the water and keep going. But so I was having my devotions that morning, had shampoo in my hair when I was bathing, and when I went under the water to close my eyes, my right eye was stinging, and I didn't know why, and it just seemed strange, but I couldn't quite close it all the way. So that night, I looked at Kim, and she's sitting across the table from me, and I smiled at her, or tried to. And I said, "It's strange, Kim, but this afternoon, this side of my face, I can't smile with it. I can't hardly get it to..." She started crying, and she said, "You got to go to emergency immediately." So I called the church, I think Nick or whoever, and told them, you know, "I won't be there. I've got to go to emergency." And I went. So all of our visitation teams that night, like three or four of them, came to emergency room. And I started kind of entertaining them, although my face was already starting to freeze up. And I had a severe case of it. 6% of Bell's palsy cases are permanent, where one side of a person's face is frozen, you know, for good, frozen for good. And then 65% of the cases go away within a week or two. I had it for 6 months. And my face here was completely, I had to tape my eyes shut at night to go to sleep. And the first month, staff spoke for me because I had trouble speaking. This side was dragging. When I would eat, water could come out of this side of my mouth. It was just real embarrassing. And before that, I've been told perfect symmetry in my face. My eyes were the same. My mouth was, you know, all of that was lined up. And so here I am with that. Now, Kim had car trouble and her car was out of commission. We had it somewhere trying to get it repaired. She was in our Ford Aerostar that I drove with Shay. They were in front of the bookstore in Jensen there on US 1, between there and the Treasure Coast Mall. They were going to be turning into the bookstore next to Longhorns. And Kim calls me. I'm in bed at home. I'm not to leave the house. And she says, "Daryl, the Aerostar's not going." And I said, "What does that mean, not going?" And she said, "It won't go anywhere. We're in the turning lane to turn into there where Sports Authority has been or is, and I think it's Dick's now, and you know, to turn in there, and we can't, the Aerostar won't go." And it had thrown a rod, which ruined the engine. So here I am at home. I can't go anywhere. Even if I could, I didn't have a vehicle to go help them. And I literally got up in the middle of the bed before the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I tithe." I started off with tithing. I said, "I tithe, you know, and give. I tithe and give. I'm even a pastor that tithes and gives." I reminded him of that. And then I said, "And I'm a soul winner. I witness. I share you every time I can, pretty much most all the time." And I started rehearsing all my accolades with him, which he already knows. And, you know, and I said, "And now..." I'm standing in the bed there, and I said, "Now I've run out of vehicles. You've taken all our vehicles, you know." And I just rehearsed all these things with him, and I said, "Gosh, Lord, what in the world? What are you doing?" And so then finally I just laid down and exhausted. I went back to sleep, and then I got up thankful to the Lord for breath and life and salvation. And I mean, I didn't hold it against him because... But from that, there's some interesting things that happened in my life. I've shared with staff through the years, primarily. But before that, I thought I was bulletproof. I thought, nothing's going to hurt me. Nothing's going to get to me. The devil hates me. Demons hate me. They're going to try to attack me. And I went through a bunch of things in the life of this church, political things with sometimes fleshly, sometimes carnal people that didn't have a Christ agenda. They had their own agenda. And, you know, we went through some things with all that. And Shay got harder and stronger. Josh got hurt. And so the kids were affected in two different ways. But here I'm going through all this, and I'm saying, "Lord, you know." And then he put in my heart for us to relocate the church on the 76 corridor before I even became pastor here. And so that's been in my heart that he placed there since 1992. And I came to a place of going through political struggles in the life of the church. We went through a couple of different reams of those things. I had a disloyal staff member where I hired Absalom at one point that really tried to do me in. And I went through all these things, and now my face is frozen, and I'm thinking, "Lord, is this permanent?" I went to Tallahassee to pray for the opening of the Congress there, the House, our state House. One of the representatives we endorsed, prayed for, a godly Christian, Art Argenio, he invited me to come and open there. He had the opportunity to do the first prayer visitor, I prayed in Jesus' name. I prayed for unborn babies. I prayed for marriage between a man and a woman. It was very controversial. It went all the way to USA Today and all that. But when I got on the elevator there, there was this woman who had obviously been a beautiful lady. She was one of the staffers for a congressman. She got on the elevator, and I looked at her, and half her face just frozen. And I said, oh, bless your heart, Bell's palsy. And she said, yes. And I said, did you just get it? You know, have you just had it? And she said, no, 13 years. And I knew what all that meant because, you know, I had gone through it. And there's an aspect of these things. By the way, just a footnote on the Bell's palsy. If you ever feel that discomfort, and you can get it at any age, it's not a stroke, it's not neurological, it's not a stress thing per se. I have people come to me, they were little kids, pregnant women, older people, all ages. Immediately go and ask for the antiviral shot to kill the virus and that causes it. And this is a footnote for you. It's helped people through the years, me sharing this. There's been several that went immediately, got the shots, never had the paralysis. It went away. But it's a virus that attacks the nerve that goes through the bone canal here into your face, five branches of your face, tear duct, saliva gland, nasal passage, and movement of your face, and it paralyzes those nerves. It cuts it off like a tourniquet when it swells up. And I've got another thorn in the flesh from that. I've got what's called crocodile tears. After 6 months, when my nerves knit back, my tear duct and my saliva gland are crossed now. So every time I eat, this has been a public thing, this nostril runs, this eye waters, I have to blow my nose, you know, every time I eat. So it's kind of like a little thorn in the flesh. But with these things, God brings things into our life for a purpose. And it's given me a great empathy for people with those types of things, an empathy I don't think I had before. At one point, it kind of probably hardened me a little bit when I went through it. But from it, I've come to a place where I don't think I'm bulletproof anymore, but it's a different kind of thing now. Now I feel like on a lot of these types of things, I've been through it, I've survived. So it's kind of a toughness, a spiritual callus that occurs that says, I'm going to press on. I don't care what happens. I don't care what comes against me. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to proceed. And I'm going to obey God no matter what. And then when the things come, you kind of anticipate them, but you endure them. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about the hardships and about brokenness and suffering. And God actually has a lot to say about brokenness. And who wants to be broken? Nobody in their right mind wants to be broken. I mean, all the years I've been a pastor, I've never had anyone come up and say, Pastor, would you pray that I would be broken? I've never had that happen. Now, it may happen now, but if it does, you're just responding to the message, I think. But we see here that he talks about being crucified with Christ and then living. We live on our lives, and we're living in the flesh with Christ, in us, with us, so that we can fulfill the faith of the Son of God and prove his love to the world. So I want us to look at a few aspects of brokenness. First of all, God values brokenness. In Psalm 51, verse 17, and Psalm 51 is one of my favorite chapters. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So God says he loves a broken heart. Through the years, people have come to me and they've been broken over losing a loved one or an illness or some adversity in their life. And I've said, God bless you and bless you. He is blessing you now. I had one young mom, had two sweet, beautiful children here, two young boys, and one of them had just become overwhelmed with prayer. He was like 10 years old, And she said, I'm worried about him. I said, well, why? He's praying all the time. I'll go in his room. He's kneeling by his bed or reading the Bible and praying. And he's crying. He's broken. He's broken about his personal sin. He's broken about the way the world is. And I'm worried about it. I said, worried about him? You ought to be grateful for him. How many kids are like that? I said, unfortunately, he's going to get over it. Unfortunately. I mean, if he could stay that way the rest of his life, God would be highly honored with him. And that helped her with it, you know, some. But she said, well, I said, God's working in his life. You know, embrace it. Bless him. Encourage him. You know, and this idea we see here where he talks about that a broken and contrite heart, he will not despise. I mean, he esteems it. He values it. God values a broken heart. And then he talks about here being contrite. And the idea of being contrite is to be pulverized, crushed with a mortar and a pestle. I should have brought one. I've got one in my garage. Actually, we've got one of everything in our garage. But I've got one of these heavy stone mortar and pestles, you know, the two things where they would, you think about maybe a pharmacist putting some medicine in there and crushing it, you know, with that. And this is what he's talking about on being contrite, where God Almighty puts us in the bowl and with his own hands, you know, he crushes us and he works in our life. Now, he only does that with people he's going to use. If you don't obey him, you don't listen to his voice, you live your own life, you live independent from him, even as a believer, he probably won't do a lot of crushing in your life. But if you look and you read the biographies of some of the greatest Christians that have ever lived, many of them have been pulverized. They have just gone through it. And then we see that our brokenness solicits his compassion. It draws him to us. God is attracted to us when we're broken. When we're not just business as usual and independent and filled with our own strength and our own stubbornness and our own will. And we're submitting to him. We saw that mirrored in Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here he is, the perfect Son of God, and he's weeping in the garden. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. I'll do it. I'll do whatever you ask. And he was saying, I really don't want to. He didn't want to go through and have the sin of the world defile him in his perfect holiness. He didn't want all of that poured on him, the filth of it. And yet he said, I'll endure it. I'll do it. I'll do it for him. I'll do it for you, Lord. Father, I'll submit to you. And so we see in Scripture here with Isaiah and his reference. Now, if you'll look with me next, Roy Hessian wrote the book Calvary Road. It's been one of my favorite. It's a little book, a little booklet almost. But he says this, to be broken is the beginning of revival. It is painful, it is humiliating, but it is the only way. And the idea of God doing that in our lives, when we've had Life Action come and spent 2 and a couple times 3 weeks with us, and we're meeting almost every night talking about sin, confession, stewardship, family, all of these things, and God sifts through us. We've seen many come forward broken, confessing sins, being transparent about their lives before God, and seeing God bring miraculous and wonderful things in their lives. There's the story that was in 1982 issue of Guideposts. Norman Vincent Peale told of a distinguished British violinist named Peter Cropper. Cropper's work was so outstanding that the Royal Academy of Music in London had honored him by lending him a priceless 258-year-old Stradivarius, one of the most expensive instruments in the world. It is the dream of every violinist to be able to play such an instrument, but a terrible thing happened with Cropper. He was performing in Finland. He tripped. He fell on top of the Stradivarius and broke it. Cropper's pleasant dream had turned into a horrible nightmare. He was inconsolable after he did that. Then a London violin dealer told him of a master craftsman who could repair the Stradivarius. To make a long story short, the repairs were so perfect they could not even be seen, and the soaring notes of the instrument were more beautiful than they were before, all because the broken parts were placed in the hands of a master craftsman who has then applied his healing touch to the instrument. Jesus Christ is the one whom we've been looking for. Something terrible happens and our lives are broken. Then we turn it over to Jesus, the master craftsman of all the ages. He takes the broken pieces, puts them back together again, and they're better than new. We see next that brokenness enhances our relationship to Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the scriptures tell us this: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You think about fellowship and you don't think about a fellowship of suffering. There's churches in our nation that have hundreds of ministries. You can do yoga, you can do calisthenics, you can meet on the golf course, you can go with the hunting club, you can do this and do that, and there's the hobby group and the bird watching group and everything else you can think of, the baking group, the house renovation group. And yet, when we think about those, do you think any of them have the fellowship of suffering? Come on, let's meet every Tuesday and let's suffer and talk about suffering. The fellowship of suffering. And this is a unique fellowship. And it's invited to those who are serious about God's work in their heart and life, who are serious about God doing great and mighty things through them, where we're willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, get the old me out and let the new me in. Let's get rid of the flesh. Let's get rid of self. Let's allow you to replace it. My son-in-law, Josh Gardner, was our youth pastor here for a few years. And then he went to a ministry in South Carolina, Clayton King Ministries, one of the largest youth camp ministries in the world. Every summer, thousands come to Clayton's youth camps. And then he was also put in charge of discipling 10 to 12 college-age future missionaries as part of his assignment. And Josh loves Jesus with all his heart, and he and Shay are having kids like you and I, you know, throw mushrooms in a pot. I mean, they, like rabbits. They don't know what causes it, but they're having lots of kids. And so they've got four, and Josh loves them with all his heart, always has. But I noticed, you know, as they got into it, and they four of them, that there were times where it just seemed like he was kind of indifferent toward them a little bit. And I know this summer we had a get-together with both families, all three families, our son and his family, Shay and her family, and then Kim and I. And we, Josh is a member of a boat club, and we met over at the docks there in Ormond Beach, and we were going to go out on a boat together. Josh Gardner and I were in the office area off of the parking lot that led to the docks with his four kids. Their youngest is Shiloh Ray, and she was like a year and a half, walking good. But we come out of there, and we're going over. I'm holding one of the boys' hands, and And as we're going along, I think, where's Shiloh? And I look back to see if Josh is carrying, not carrying her. And I look back, and here she is, just stepped off the curb into the parking lot by herself behind us, walking behind the entourage, little year-and-a-half-year-old, by herself. So I let go of Gabe's hand. I run back there and pick her up to carry her. But I thought, wow, you know. And so we go through this, and then Josh and Shay both get COVID to the point where they go to the emergency room, each of them about 5 days apart, thinking that it's mortal, that they're, you know, could be intubated, and thinking lots of things, very serious. From that, Josh was given a heavy dose of steroids and some other things. And with that, he took the steroids improperly. He loaded up for a few days and would completely stop for a few days and then take them again. And from that, he went into a manic state where he couldn't turn his mind off. He quit eating. He quit sleeping. And at the same time, the whole Afghanistan thing happened, and he was getting all these texts and reports. He had been working with a group of pastors and missionaries, and they were actually going to kind of go smuggle some Bibles and things into Iran. They were working on that. And at the same time, he started getting all this information from Afghani Christians about the Taliban are going door to door, and they're killing us, and this and that. And Josh just spun out on it. He started putting posts this long on Facebook, and all of these things started happening. And here he was, and he was a mentor to pastors in soul winning. He has really become quite the witness for Christ, and also in preparing for missions and things like that. And so he had a lot of credibility with a lot of people. And so he went into this process in his life. And Shay said, you need help. And they actually put him in a place for a month, where a Christian rehab place where he went. And so Shay had the kids, all four kids, on her own for a month. And just a lot of things going on with Josh. And I got a call from him just a few days ago, earlier this week. And he called me, and he normally calls me Big D or other things, but he called me on the phone. He said, Pastor, I need help. I need encouragement. And I said, wow, Josh. He said, share with me anything you've got to say. What do you have to say? And I said, well, first, I've got to say I love you. And second, I've got to say I'm glad you called me. And then what I've got to say is this. I've been watching this whole process unfold for you. And I saw kind of a callousness in your life, an indifference, you know, earlier, in the last couple of years or so, 2 or 3 years. And I've seen what's been going on with you since you've gone through this whole thing with the steroids and the COVID and the manic state and all, you know, not sleeping, not eating, and all these things. And I just want to tell you that me looking in, and I said, you know, I'm a truth teller. I'm going to tell you what I think. He said, that's why I called you, part of why I called you. And I said, well, me looking in, I've got to tell you that I think God's working more in your life than he ever has before. And what's going on with you is beautiful. When I look at what I see you softer. I'm looking at pictures of you and the kids on Facebook the last few years, you know, when y'all post things. And I see their faces are softer with you. They're leaning in more. They've always loved you. You've always loved them, and they have. They've had just a great love for each other. But I said, God is doing something unique and special in your life. And I just want to encourage you to embrace it. You know, don't fight it. And just lean into it. In fact, I'm sharing all these details with you because I called and talked to him and asked him if I could. And he said, please do. And these things in our life that we say, oh, this is hurting me, it's crushing me, it's killing me, it's tearing me up, in actuality, it's taking us to a different place. And I said, Josh, you wouldn't have called me before all this happened like you're doing now. And I just want you to know I love you dearly. I've never been prouder of you. And I think God's got great things in store for him with what he's doing with you. And I just want to tell all of us, you know, brokenness is a key part of really, I mean, you can go to church, you could have some positions or do some volunteering at church, you can, you know, do a this or do a that and do some church, and I don't want to go overboard, I don't want to become a Jesus freak or whatever you might say or think, but if you want to be the disciple of Christ, the bondservant of the great and mighty Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got to be willing to be broken. You've got to be willing to say, yes, Lord, if you need to, bring these things into my life. And I will accept the result of it. Brokenness opens the power of the resurrection in our life. And that's what Philippians 3:10 tells us. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If you want to know power, you have to get to a point of being at the end of yourself. And then we see also that brokenness enters us into that fellowship of his suffering. It's the entrance into it. It's the membership dues to get into that fellowship. And then brokenness also conforms us to his death. One significant sign that the soul has been broken is that you are able to pray a sincere prayer of surrender. You relinquish the struggle at hand. This is Alan Nelson in Embracing Brokenness. You are literally able to embrace what God's doing and you relinquish your fight against it. You surrender to it. Then thirdly, brokenness calls God to the rescue in our lives. If you've got your Bible in Psalm chapter 31, verse 18, we see this with the Lord. Psalm 31, 18. Let the lying limbs be numb, which speak arrogantly. I don't think that's right. Psalm 34, I'm sorry. Maybe that's good for somewhere. Okay. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in their spirit. And the idea here is to be hammered out, to be beaten out. And he says that he's going to draw close to us when we're crushed. If most of you will remember some of the hardest times in your life, the times when you were hurting the most as a believer, I would venture to say that's also the times you've sensed the presence of Christ the strongest in your life. I know that's been the case in my life, is those times where you just feel like, oh my, it's just all coming apart. And then you sense the sweet presence of Christ, the Spirit of consolation, the Holy Spirit of God consoling you, comforting you, strengthening you. And then finally we see that brokenness ultimately brings about rest in our life. Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, I'm sorry. Matthew 11. Looking up these verses is breaking me. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. It's interesting that he uses that terminology. A yoke is a implement of farming that it's a, sometimes wood, now these days metal, and it hooks two oxen, two donkeys, two or three beasts of burden together to pull together. And the Lord's telling us, this is a yoke. This is this thing that hangs over the animals. And I want you to step into the yoke with me, and you and I will pull it together. You and I will walk together. You and I will be involved together with this in serving me. And he says, and then there's these great and wonderful promises. I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Rest for our souls. And that's the greatest rest in the world, when the soul is at rest, when there's peace in our mind, our will, our emotions, when we are, all of our being is aligned with Christ and we sense his presence and we say, Lord, I know I'm in your will. I know I'm doing your will. And so today I'd like for you to just hopefully be encouraged, especially if you've gone through some things. In fact, Dr. Falwell, when I was at Liberty, used to say, every believer I know is either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or about to go into trouble. And he wasn't being pessimistic. He just said, life is full of trouble, full of hardships. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, I'd like to ask you, first of all, are you sure of your relationship with Christ? Are you sure that Jesus lives in your life? He wants to carry the load with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to comfort you, encourage you, strengthen you. But you've got to have a personal relationship with him. And I'd like to invite you right now, if you're not sure of your relationship, or maybe you know you don't have one, to just say, oh, dear Lord, I know you hear me, see me. I know you're present. Please, Almighty God, forgive me and cleanse me. Come into my life and take control of me and live through me. Please, Lord, apply your death to my life and forgive my sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you'd pray this prayer with me to the Lord. Dear Lord, I want to be your servant. I want to be fruitful. I want to ask you, please, dear God, to perfect your work in my life. Help me to walk in obedience to you. Help me to understand brokenness, suffering, all of these other things, Lord. Please give me a peace with it. Please help me, dear God, to cooperate with you in my own sanctification. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation and want you to obey God. Do what he tells you to do today. Let's stand together and sing. I want to remind you again, next Sunday night, we're having this benefit concert for our 76 project. And want to encourage you, tickets are available in the lobby. And if you could, go get as many as you'd like to use and hand them out to your friends. Invite them to come. We'd like to fill the place next Sunday night. And it's all of our singers and all of our music here. And everybody's real excited. They've been working very hard getting ready for this. And it's going to be a blessing for us to get together and worship Jesus together. And so I want to encourage you to come, invite folks to come also. We're working on a, what's, Nikki, has anything happened with the Christmas tree? Okay. We're working on, I mean, you can pray about this. We want to have a little auction to it where we're going to have a fully decorated Christmas tree. We're trying to get that together for some folks to bid on along with that as part of the evening where we'd have that. We'll wrap it in saran wrap. So if you hate decorating your tree and you hadn't done it yet, You can buy one already put together, hopefully. We're working on that and a couple of other things. And that'll be a blessing as well. And I just want to tell you, I love you and proud of you. It's good to see many of our northern folks. When we go north, we're leafers looking for leaf change. When they come here, they're snowbirds, I guess. But we want to tell you we're glad you're here and praise the Lord for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives. I want to lift Josh up to you. And I thank you for what you're doing in his life. I thank you for the way you're perfecting yourself in him. I just pray that you'll bless him, draw close to him, help him, encourage him, strengthen him. And Father, there's many here in front of me right now that are suffering with different things. We think of Jo Snipes right now with her knee and this disorientation and dizziness and nausea that she's experiencing and all the pain with that. We ask you, please, dear God, just to minister to her as well. And Lord, for each and every one here, some with cancers, some with other things, we just ask you to touch them and strengthen them. Be close to them. Whisper to their hearts. Assure them. Show them what you're doing in their life and strengthen them. And Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that you have victory over this life. You've got victory over death, hell, the grave, illness, suffering, all of it. And we acknowledge that and recognize you in it. And we love you in it. And we just want to tell you again that we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, my name is Dara Pearson. I've been a member of First Baptist Stewart for 30 years. My husband and I have three grown children. Our family has had the privilege of serving the Lord here at First Baptist Stewart for many years. Currently, one of the ministries that I've been serving the Lord in is the MOPS program, which is Moms of Preschoolers, and Moms Next, which is Moms of Elementary Age Children. This program is perfect for moms of young children to come and gather together with other moms. During this time together, these mothers find support, guidance, and fellowship. We meet on selected Wednesdays once a month at First Baptist Stewart from 6 o'clock to 7:15. Child care is provided with activities during Wednesday night programs, such as Awana. We have a time of discussion about parenting children from a godly view, a fun craft, and snack. If you are a mom of young children, please come join us. Search for Stewart Mops on Facebook. We'd love to see you.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going." And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.